Our first reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life. Our gospel reading this morning is from the 8th chapter of John, verses 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Word of God, word of life. You can be seated. This morning we celebrate Reformation Sunday. Later this week, it will have been 503 years since Martin Luther is said to have posted his 95 theses on the door of Castle Church in Wittenberg. 5 centuries later, with churches such as ours here in Loveland and around the globe bearing names attributed to Luther, I suppose we could say that Martin Luther has made an impression on the world. Many things have changed in the church since those early years of Reformation, but the enduring piece of Luther's work that strikes me the most this week is this, the Holy Bible. While Martin Luther certainly did not write the Bible, the ways his theology surrounding the Word of God and its intended readership has influenced the way we continue to interact with the Bible today. Martin Luther, who devoted his adult life to the work of the church, held a foundational belief in the priesthood of all believers. Even as clergy himself, he saw the potential for leadership and spiritual gifts in the common Catholic folk of German cities and villages. In a time when this sacred text was often hoarded by priests and those studying theology, Martin Luther worked to set the Word of God free, free from the grasps of power and privilege. Martin Luther believed that the Word of God is for each of us, and that the Bible belongs in the hands and language of all believers. Luther dedicated himself to the work of translating the New Testament from the original Greek. Verse by verse, he strategically translated passages into a unified vernacular that Germans in every region of the country would be able to understand and relate to. And as he dug deeper into the Gospels and the letters attributed to Paul, he uncovered, for all readers, the message of God's grace. There were priests at the time who had twisted the words of the Bible to portray a vengeful God, seeking penance for sins in the form of monetary donations to the church. Our first reading for today from Jeremiah quotes the Lord as saying, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. Luther's translation helped us to realize that it's not only the law written on our hearts, but the gospel as well. In plain German, Luther spelled out the freedom we receive at the foot of the cross, and the faith, not the good works, that saves us from sin. These are life-altering realizations, and they were suddenly able to be read by everyday people. When complete, Luther then gathered others to assist in translating the original Hebrew of the Old Testament, much in the same manner. As the Luther Bible, as it came to be called, began to be distributed, with each new household or school or congregation that acquired a printed copy, the Word of God was transferred from the hands of power and privilege of Roman Catholic clergy to the hands of everyday people, to you and to me. No longer entangled in the confusing tongues of Hebrew, Greek, or Latin, the Word of God reached the people directly. Luther's translation of the Bible into everyday vocabulary and patterns of speech was, at the time, revolutionary. Of course, the distribution process was not perfect, neither was Luther, and the cost of printing and the literacy rate still impacted access for many people, especially the working class. But the story doesn't stop there, because this same Word of God continued to spread, translated again and again and again, shipped globally and read in homes and churches throughout all of creation. Today, this collection of origin stories, family histories, lyrical poems of praise and lament, parables and acts of healing can be found on household bookshelves, in public library catalogs, downloaded as smartphone apps, and tucked in the drawers of hotel room bedside tables. From oral histories told around campfires to the ancient scrolls of the Torah to the long-distance letters of the early church, from the pulpit in Roman Catholic cathedrals to German homes in the 1500s to 2020's live stream worships, the Word of God endures. The Bible continues to share good news and bring comfort. The Word of God continues to be written on our hearts. This transformation of the Word of God didn't start with Martin Luther, but thanks to his works and belief, I'm grateful to be able to read the words of the Bible in the language that I understand. To be able to gather with other lay people and discuss and study scripture, to be able to share the Word of God in the pages of a children's Bible. This is how I firmly believe God intended for the Bible to be used. Not only did Martin Luther believe in the priesthood of all believers and that the Word of God belongs in the hands of everyone, but he also believed that faith formation begins in the home, which is a value that we hold true today here at Zion. Families in Luther's time were inspired to practice daily prayers and rituals on their farms or gathered around their kitchen tables or in their classrooms. We've experienced more than ever before in this past year that the church is not the building. I like to think that Martin Luther might have scoffed at the Gothic cathedrals of his time. The Holy Spirit cannot be confined by four walls, no matter how ornate. And although we have a beautiful new addition to our building, the Holy Spirit resides in each and every single one of you. As followers of Christ, here in the pews, at home on your couches, at worship, at work, at home, and at school, when you sleep, when you exercise, when you travel, you have the Word of God written on your hearts. Not only the law, but the gospel too. Later today, we are celebrating the affirmation of baptism of our three students who are completing confirmation. As Pastor Joel mentioned, this year we have a separate noon service and all are invited to attend. In the spirit of 2020, there's blizzard conditions in the parking lot, but you will be able to remain bundled in your warm cars and tuned to your FM radio for sound. If you aren't able to join us in person, worship live stream will be available via Zoom at the same link that was used to access this service, beginning at noon. If you aren't able to join us for worship, I encourage you to reach out to our confirmands, offering words of encouragement for their continued faith journeys and congratulations. Our confirmation ministry consists of 3 years of classes, retreats, and service opportunities. These amazing young people have grown so much over the past 3 years, and we are grateful for the opportunity to support them as they affirm their faith today. Each confirmand has been gifted with an everyday object transcribed with their chosen confirmation verse. For the past 3 weeks, you've been able to hear each confirmand's personal faith statement, which has been cultivated in the soil of this community. This year in particular, I noticed themes of God's words of truth and comfort woven through each of their chosen verses. We've placed up here on the altar the gifts for each confirmand. There's a significance behind each everyday item, And we hope that these are items that our young people will continue to use in their daily life as a reminder of God's presence and the endurance of the Word of God. For Peyton Peach, we have a basketball. Peyton's chosen verse comes from Isaiah 41. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Peyton is brave. In 2019, she tried out for a travel basketball team where, if I'm remembering correctly, she didn't know anyone else on the team or the coaching staff. And now, over a year later, her current basketball teammates and coaches bring her joy and a sense of community and a place to use her leadership skills. Peyton has shown that same sense of bravery in her faith life. On overnight trips and weeks at Sky Ranch, Peyton has shown that she trusts the words of her confirmation verse, "Do not fear, for I am with you." Peyton is able to lean into community to grow in faith, which was evident in the way she described her faith mentors in her statement. Over the past 3 years in confirmation, Peyton has developed an ability to articulate her faith in bold ways, and we know she will continue to use that sense of bravery to share the gospel truth with those around her. Peyton, as you use this basketball, may you continue to feel the Word of God written on your heart. For Alex Prazen, we have a lantern. Alex's chosen verse comes from Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Alex carries a quiet, down-to-earth sense of peace with him wherever he goes. In his faith statement, Alex stated that he wishes the world had less selfish and rude people and more selfless and kind people. Alex himself is certainly one of the selfless and kind people we are blessed to have in our presence. Alex also explained that he feels God's presence most evidently when he is camping. In the peacefulness and quietness, he senses the Holy Spirit. I can imagine it's rather dark in the valley of the shadow of death. But I also imagine that this lantern burns with the light of Christ, illuminating even the darkest of shadows. Alex, our hope for you is that when you use this lantern on your camping adventures, that you experience that same sense of peace and quiet, and feel the comfort of God's presence that a sheep feels with a shepherd's rod and staff. Even if there are times in your future where you walk through valleys of despair and hardship, may you continue to feel the Word of God written on your heart. For Anna Schlegel, we have a set of mixing bowls. Anna's chosen verse comes from Ecclesiastes 3. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Anna has certainly experienced seasons of joy and tears, of hope and of loss. But in the midst of a season of loss, Anna has a gift for bringing family and friends together. When our confirmants met to write their faith statements, we took a lunch break and Anna pulled out a batch of homemade pasta salad she had crafted for her family using a family recipe. Even today, Anna has coordinated gathering aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends from near and far to celebrate with her, in person and remotely. In all the seasons of life, we know that Anna will continue to use her gifts to connect others and bring them together in the name of Christ's love. Anna shares what she has with others and is excited to use her gifts to volunteer with KidsPat. We know this is only the beginning of a lifetime of heartfelt service and care for others, for Anna. And we know her mom is with her today and so proud. Anna, we hope that as you use these mixing bowls, may you continue to feel the Word of God written on your heart. To all three of our confirmands, as you use these items, remember the community of faith here to support you and the Holy Spirit's presence that will continue to guide you in truth. Now, our confirmands have done a lot of preparation for this day, so they are off the hook for this next part. But for the rest of you, I'd like to challenge you to find a way to infuse the Word of God into your everyday, much in the same way that Martin Luther encouraged believers to use the Word of God in everyday life. The first step is to find a piece of scripture that resonates with you. Perhaps it's a verse that brings you comfort, or one that challenges you, or one that connects you to both the past and the future. Next, think of an everyday household object that you use regularly. Maybe it's a garden tool or a technology device or your favorite mug for tea. It could be a sewing machine, a toolbox, a stuffed animal, a hiking stick, or a musical instrument. Whatever it is, hopefully it's an object that reminds you of the God-given gifts that you have to share with the world. The key is to choose an object that you use regularly with your hands that accompanies you in daily life. Wall plaques and decorative crosses are great, but they often take passive roles in our everyday. Martin Luther believed in the practicality of everyday faith. He didn't believe that our faith was fancy or a once-a-week event. The Holy Spirit meets us in the everydayness of life. Much as our confirmants have come to know, God is with us on the basketball court, in the peaceful solitude of our favorite campsite, and in the kitchen surrounded by our family. The next step is to go ahead and add your verse to your everyday object. Permanent markers work great, or maybe write the verse on a sturdy piece of ribbon or fabric and tie it to your object. The last and most important step is to use your object and begin to write your chosen words of God, your chosen words of God on your heart. The Word of God comes to us in a language we can understand, in a way that speaks to us as individuals and community. The Word of God has the power to transform our hearts. We use Scripture to remind us of God's presence, to empower us to grow in faith, and to comfort us in times of need. The Word of God helps us to live, to love, and to serve our neighbor. On a day when we celebrate the presence of the Holy Spirit working in and through our young people, and watch with delight as they affirm the faith into which they were baptized, we also give thanks for the ways the fire of the Holy Spirit burns in each of us. We give thanks for the waters of baptism that wash us clean with grace. We give thanks for the legacy of Martin Luther that reminds us that we are all able to share the gospel using the spiritual gifts given to us. The Word of God is written on our hearts, and we can carry it throughout our everyday lives. We can read and understand the truth in the Bible as disciples of Christ, and that truth sets us free. Thanks be to God.